even me with all my sin. Is that amazing to you? Let's open our Bibles together to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Mary, it's so good to have you back. Glad you're feeling better. Revelation 21, and we'll begin reading at verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Well, we know who that is, don't we? The pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, this is symbolic language. I don't know. We talk about the streets of gold in heaven, but it says here it's like transparent glass. And I don't know what that means, except that which we value the most in this world is going to be not only walked on, but we're not even going to take notice of it. We're not going to be able to see it. It's going to look right through it. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Wherein is righteousness. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful that you have given us a glimpse of your glory in your word. We ask that you would bless your word with faith and cause us to just rejoice in the one who has made us accepted before thee, the one in whom we have all access before your throne of grace, that pearl of great price, the gate of glory itself. We ask, Lord, that thy will would be done here on earth, even as it is in heaven. Lord, that you would give us now the faith to look at the riches of this world as if they were transparent, and to set our affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and that the light of his countenance would shine in our hearts, all to his glory. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's all stand together again and sing hymn number 168 from the hardback hymnal. Number 168.
Read from Revelation 21 earlier, and my text tonight comes from the next chapter. It's a verse of scripture that we've quoted many times and one that you're familiar with, and it is the summary statement that God the Holy Spirit gives us of this entire book. From Genesis to Revelation, the Spirit of God summarizes everything with this statement in verse 17 of Revelation 22. And the Spirit, in light of everything that's been said, in light of all the truths that have been declared, in light of all the accomplishments that have been performed by God, the Spirit and the bride, that's the church, that's us, say, come. Come. Now, if everything in God's Word is to be understood in light of that summary analysis, come, that command of God, my question tonight for you and for me is, what does it mean to come to Christ? What is coming to Christ? How do we understand it from the Scriptures? Surely this isn't something that's just new, put to the end of the Word of God. Surely this is, you know, when you prepare a message or you write a paper, whatever, you always write your conclusion first. You always write your conclusion first. That's just a rule. And then you make sure that that conclusion is reinforced from beginning to end, so that when you get to the conclusion of the matter, it's not a surprise. Well, what is he talking about? No, this is the conclusion of the matter. Robert read last Wednesday night from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the conclusion of the matter. The whole of man is that they fear God and keep his commandment, and in keeping his commandment, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And now this is the conclusion of all of Scripture. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now I want to know what God says about coming to Christ. And I have 6 points this evening. We'll go through them quickly, but I hope the Lord will speak powerfully to our hearts. I want to look from God's Word the reason for coming to Christ, the power that it takes to come to Christ, the warrant for coming to Christ, the way of coming to Christ, the ground of coming to Christ, and the result of coming to Christ. And I believe all those things are spoken of in the Scriptures. First, what is the reason for coming to Christ? What is your reason for coming to Christ? What does God say the reason is for coming to Christ? Well, the obvious answer to that question would be salvation. No other name has been given unto men whereby we must be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Without coming to Christ, we are under the condemnation of the law. We're under the wrath of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the only hope that we have of escaping the judgment that is to come. That's a pretty powerful reason for coming to Christ. But you know, there's a better reason than that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he gives us right there a reason for coming to Christ. Lord, I'm burdened. I'm burdened with my sin. I'm burdened with the reality of judgment. I'm burdened for my soul. I'm burdened by the condemnation of the law. The curse of the law is upon me. And I've labored in trying to deliver myself of this burden, and I find no escape. And so the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come, come, learn of me. And therein is the second reason for coming to Christ. And I believe more important than even the concern that we have for our soul. More important. You see, the truth is that the salvation of our souls is a means to an end. The salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sin, is not the end of the matter. It is a means to the end. There is a greater reason for coming to Christ than your salvation. And the Lord spoke of it there in that verse I just quoted when he said, learn of me. Learn of me. The reason for coming to Christ is first and foremost the glory of God. The glory of God. And if the Lord's pleased to make himself known to us, though we have a concern for our souls, though we have a need to be saved, though we are in desperate need for a substitute before God, the Lord makes himself known to us, our hearts go beyond our own circumstances to his glory. Now, the children of Israel were perpetual backsliders, just like you are and just like I am. And the Lord in Numbers chapter 14, you have your Bibles open there. The Lord in Numbers chapter 14 told Moses that he was just going to kill them all. Look in verse 11 of Numbers 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? How long will they not believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation mightier than they. So the Lord tells Moses, I'm going to wipe them out and we'll start over. We'll start over with you. And Moses, as an intercessor, as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, prays for them. But I want you to notice the content of this prayer. Because no place in the prayer that Moses prays for the salvation of Israel does he mention anything about their need to be saved. Look what he says. Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. And for they have heard that thou art among this people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, what's Moses doing? Moses is bringing his petition to God based on the glory of God. There's something to be learned here. Something to be learned here about the things that we pray for, including the salvation of our own soul. God is preeminently concerned for his glory. And the Lord is pleased to show forth his glory. He's a whole lot more pleased to show forth his glory than he is to meet our, you know, in other words, whatever he does is going to be for his glory. And the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions by no means clearing the guilty. visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. Lord, receive me according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The Lord says to Moses, Moses, I've heard your prayer. And because you've prayed for my glory, I'm going to spare these people. What reason do we have for coming to Christ? Yes, the salvation of our souls, the forgiveness of our sin. But first and foremost, it is for the glory of God. If the Lord ever puts our hearts there, if he ever causes us to say, oh, not only has my burden been lifted, but I've learned of him. I've learned of him. And I know something about who he is and what glory he has and what desire he has to display his glory. And my reason for coming to Christ is first and foremost the glory of Christ. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Lord is most glorified when sinners come before the throne of grace to find help in their time of need. But His glory for the heart of God's people, I want you to think like me. Beyond seeing ourselves as the end of this thing. Beyond seeing our needs as the primary reason that God is pleased to show forth his long-suffering and his mercy. I want you to see with me that the primary thing in the heart of God is his glory. It's his glory. So that as believers we can... There's a part of us that just says, Lord, whatever glorifies thee, let thy will be done. Lord, if you get greater gloried by sending my soul to hell, I know it'll be right. That's not what I want. But you see my point? The reason for coming to Christ is the glory of God. And if all we see is our own salvation, then we're just going to be very short-sighted. We'll be very short-sighted and have very little assurance in coming to Christ if all we see is the benefits that we gain by coming to Christ. The primary reason for coming to Christ is the glory of God, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, might God deliver us from ourselves and help us to believe and to pray like this. This is a principle that applies not just to our salvation, but to every aspect of our prayer life. Rather than pleading with God for someone to be delivered from their circumstances, plead with him to glorify himself. That's the prayer that he's pleased to answer. The power for coming to Christ. The power for coming to Christ. It's not until you realize that you can't come to Christ that you're made able to come to Christ. What I'm saying right now is come. Come. The Spirit and the bride say come. But you can't. You can't. You don't have the power to come. You don't have the ability to come. Let me show you another passage in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. This isn't Joshua 24. I'll just quote this while you look that verse up. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. You know it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. The grace is not of you. The faith is not of you. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You've got to be born of the Spirit. The power is what the Lord was talking to Nicodemus about. Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom of God unless the wind of the Spirit blows in your heart. You can't come to Christ. But God says, come. Yes. And what he requires, he must also provide. Why? Why? So that he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. The power to come to Christ is not in our will. It is in his mercy and in his grace. Again, the children of Israel are being told of the Lord, of his judgment upon them. And through Joshua, look at verse 14 of Joshua chapter 24. Now therefore, Joshua says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Now, understand, Joshua's not saying you make a choice between serving God or serving. No, he's saying if you're not going to serve the Lord, at least choose which idol you're going to serve. Whether it be the gods of before the flood, or whether it be the gods of Egypt, or the gods of the Amalekites, you make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of our, that brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. Okay, we've made our choice. We're going to serve God. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. You've given us a choice, we've made the choice. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He won't forgive your transgressions or your sins. You think you're just going to make a choice to serve God? You think that you've been given an option here, and that you're going to choose the right thing, and that that's going to somehow make God obligated to you? You can't serve the Lord. He's holy. He's jealous. If you're going to come to Christ, he's going to have to cause you to come. He's going to have to do for you what David did for Mephibosheth. Send his prophet to come fetch you and drag your crippled legs right back to the king's table and set you down. It's called fetching grace. He's going to have to make you willing. Nations that did not seek after me have come unto me. How'd they come? How'd they come? By the power of God is how they came. Why do we come to Christ? What is the reason for coming to Christ? Yes, the salvation of our souls, but far beyond that is the glory of the Lord himself. What is the power for coming to Christ? It's not in us. It's not in us. It's by His power and by His might. Well, what is my warrant for coming? Who authorized me to come? What's my validation for coming to Christ? If I need to come for the salvation of my soul and I'm not able to come, then what warrant do I have? What command do I have to come? The Word of God. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come. Turn with me to that passage in Revelation 22 where we just were earlier. What is my warrant for coming? It's the Word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever will. That's my warrant for coming. That God has commanded all men everywhere to come to Christ. To believe. I'm a whosoever. And look at this verse in verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. What's my warrant for coming? God's fed me with the salt of the gospel and caused me to thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Freely. That's my warrant for coming. That's my warrant for coming. That God's given me the faith to believe that what He's commanded, He will enable. But His command is my call. That's my call to come. His command is not an RSVP. You know, you get an invitation to come. Some people in religion they talk about coming to Christ as an invitation. We're going to have an invitation now. We invite you to come. Oh no, no, that's no warrant for God. Well, I may RSVP that, or I may say no or yes. You know, I don't know. No. Commands us. That's our warrant for coming. It's the command of God. Have you heard God say come? Have you heard Him say come? Have you heard Him command you to come? Not invite you to come. But God Almighty, the Creator and Sustainer of your life, has told you clearly in His Word, you come. What greater authority do I need than that? What greater warrant do I need for coming to Christ than the very command of God? If He's pleased to cause me to believe that command, He's already blessed me with the power to come. For the way of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is not walking an aisle. The way to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is not keeping a law. The way to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is not making a decision. It's faith. And all of this goes back to the first point. Because faith is not our contribution to salvation. It's not our contribution. I know that's what they teach in religion. It's, you know, it's duty faith. You have the duty to exercise your faith. You've got to make a decision. You've got to choose. Well, you see what the Lord said to the Israelites when they tried to make a choice. You can't serve God. No. Faith gives to the Lord Jesus Christ all the glory for our salvation. For faith just believes God. It trusts Him. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And it is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Lest you become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. This idea that we have that faith is some sort of, you know, Well, they're strong men of faith. Now, holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That word just means they were separated. Doesn't mean they were any different from you or me. Oh, Lord, increase our faith. And if He increases our faith, He'll weaken us. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Faith is coming to Christ. It's looking to Christ. It's resting in Christ. And it's not the strength of your faith or the amount of your faith. It is the object of your faith. Lord Jesus, I know that You are who You claim to be and that You have accomplished what's been revealed in Your Word. And the only hope that I have, the only hope that I have, is that You would intercede on my behalf before God. That You would present Yourself before the Father as my righteousness. And that You would satisfy all the demands of God's justice through Your shed blood on Calvary's cross. Lord, I've got no place else to go. No place else to go. Faith is the way of coming to Christ. What is the ground or the basis of coming to Christ? What is it that we have faith in? What the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. What He accomplished. And what He accomplished is based on who He is. We just sang that song. We were singing it when the service started. Joy was playing it. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the ground of our faith. It's the ground, it's the basis, it's the foundation on which we come to Christ. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that when He bowed His head on Calvary's cross and said, "It is finished," that everything that God requires of me and you in order to be saved and everything that God requires in order for Him to be glorified was accomplished in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That Christ is the veil that was rent, and that we are no longer under that Old Testament where the priests were stationed outside the temple and the veil separated the holies of holies from the rest of the congregation, from the common man, and they warned people, stay away, stay away. And the one time a man went in there that wasn't authorized to go in, God afflicted him with leprosy right there on the spot. Uzziah, you remember? What happened? When the Lord said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." I suspect that the priests come running out of that temple. The veil's been rent. We can see into the holies of holies, the Ark of the Covenant. It's right there, the mercy seat. It's right there. We can see it. We're not supposed to look upon it. Oh, no, yes, you are to look upon it. Come. Come. There's another mercy seat. It's in heaven. And there's another temple, not made with the hands of men. And the blood that Christ shed on Calvary's cross was put on that mercy seat. And God now doesn't say, stay away. Now He says, come. Come. Your ground for coming is what the Lord Jesus Christ did based on who He is. Let me show you that in an Old Testament passage. Turn with me to Exodus 24. Exodus chapter 24. keep looking at these rebellious children of Israel because they remind me so much of myself. Look at verse 3. And Moses came and told all the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. We're committed. We're going to serve God." Every time the Lord would come and tell them that he was going to bring judgment, they jumped up and said, "Oh, we'll serve God. We'll serve God." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half the blood, put it in a basin, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people and said, "All the people said, all that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient." And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. You know what Moses was saying, what God was saying to the children of Israel? Same thing Joshua said. You can't serve the Lord. You can't come. You can't believe. The sprinkling of the blood is the only thing that's going to make you clean. What is the ground upon which we come to Christ? It's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ sprinkled on us. And my last question is, what is the result of coming to Christ? What is the result of coming to Christ? And my answer to this question is twofold: tribulation and peace. Tribulation and peace. You say, "Well, that's a contradiction." No, it's not. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say, "In this world you shall have tribulation"? Coming to Christ is going to put you at odds with everything in this world. First and foremost, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is going to put you at odds with yourself. All of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in the midst of a civil war. And it's not going to let up. And there's going to be a lot of blood shedding. And the Spirit's going to war against the flesh, and the flesh is going to war against the Spirit, so that you cannot be what you would be. In this world you shall have tribulation. And that tribulation is going to come as a result of the temptation of sin and the weakness of your flesh and the fears from without and the doubts from within. But what's the rest of that verse say? "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." The Lord Jesus Christ was never enticed by a temptation. When the Scripture says that he was tried in all ways that we are, and yet without sin, it doesn't mean that he had to suffer through the depths of temptations in order to, you know, come out victorious on the other end. You know, no. Satan came to him and tempted him. He said, "Away from me, away from me." He overcame the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the Lord Jesus Christ overcame them. And so he says, you can't overcome. Except in me. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have conflict. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've destroyed the works of Satan. And in me, in me, you are overcomers. You overcome. Why? Because I've overcome. In me, you lived a perfectly righteous life. In me, you died a satisfactory death. In me, you rose a victorious resurrection. In me, you ascended back into glory. In me, you are seated at the right hand of God right now in the heavenlies. In me, you've overcome the world. That's the result of coming to Christ. Tribulation and peace. Don't look for anything else. Don't look for anything else. Don't look for evidence of salvation in your life. Don't look for, well, how much do I love God? Or how committed am I? Or how faithful am I? Don't look there. That's not the result of coming to Christ. The result of coming to Christ is twofold. It's tribulation and it's peace. As recovering Pharisees, we still look for results in order to get assurance of salvation, don't we? And the more you look for results, the less assurance you have. And if you look to see if the dove of peace is in your heart, he's going to fly away. And if you look to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, he'll fly into your heart. Do I believe? That's a good question. That's a good question. The problem is that Satan takes that question in our hearts, and as the accuser of the brethren, just like he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you be the Son of God, if you are a believer, if you really are a believer, then this and that. And what's he doing? He's getting us to take our eyes off of Christ and to look to ourselves and to try to find some evidence of salvation. Why? Why? It all goes back to the first point. Because he hates the Lord Jesus Christ and he doesn't want him to get the glory. And if he can get us to take our eyes off of Christ and look to ourselves, then the Lord Jesus Christ is not being glorified. The result of salvation, the result of coming to Christ, is tribulation and peace. The reason for coming? The glory of Christ. First, salvation of our souls is second. The power to come? His power, not ours. The warrant for coming is the Word of God, His command. The way in which we come is faith. The ground upon which we have faith is the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the result of coming to Christ is tribulation and peace. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would burn into our hearts the truths that you've spoken in your word, and that you would bless us with the faith to believe thee and to come just like we are. Christ will be glorified. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen. All right, we'll stand together. Number 8 in the soft-backed hymnal. Let's stand. Thank you.